It was shortly after 9 a.m. that the men came to Rosedale Cemetery on 15th of October, 1927. They made their way through the rows of memorials until they stopped at one particular grave. They erected a tent over it and removed the headstone. Then they worked to uncover the coffin, heaving sodden earth out of the hole until they unveiled a nondescript wooden box which held Amelia Molly Maggia, the girl, so they said, who had died of syphilis. The men ran ropes under it, then attached stronger silver chains. It was raised just slightly to free it from water that had seeped in around it as a result of the recent rains. Then they waited for the officials to arrive. Berry had arranged with the radium company that they would all converge at 3:30 p.m. exactly. At 3 p.m, the specialists from the company arrived at Molly's grave. There were six of them, including Vice President Barker and the ubiquitous Dr. Flynn. Prudently, Berry had arranged for a special investigator to be present for the morning's activities. He now watched the company men closely as they milled outside the tent. At 3:30 p.m, as specified, Berry walked up to the grave with Mrs. Hughes, Dr. Martland, and a cohort of New York doctors who would lead on conducting the autopsy. There were 13 officials in all, gathered together to witness Molly's exhumation. Standing awkwardly among the doctors and lawyers were three other men, James MacDonald and James Lorice, Molly's sister's husbands, and her father, Valerio. The family hadn't protested when Berry had put the idea to them. Molly's body could provide perfect corroborating evidence for the dial painter's fight in court. Even after all these years, she could still help her sisters. After the arrival of Berry's team, preparations were made for raising the coffin. Curtains were drawn around and the entire party went inside the tent. The grave workers heaved on the ropes and chains. Slowly, Molly rose the 6 feet to the surface. The outer box was in bad condition and easily pulled apart. The casket was likewise ready to fall apart. Despite the dim fall day, the coffin seemed to glow with an unnatural light. There were unmistakable signs of radium. The inside of the coffin was aglow with the soft luminescence of radium compounds. Someone leant over the glowing coffin and pulled a silver nameplate from the rotten wood. Amelia Maggia, it read. They showed it to Valerio for identification. He nodded. Yes, that was the one. That was the one the family had chosen for his child. As soon as Molly's identity was confirmed, the top and sides of the casket were removed. And there she was. There was Molly Maggia, back from the grave, in her white dress and her black leather pumps, just as she had been dressed on the day she was buried in 1922. The body, observers noted, was in a good state of preservation. They removed her carefully from the coffin, placed her gently in a wooden box, and then took her by automobile to a local undertaking parlour. At 4:50 p.m, her autopsy would begin. At 4:50 p.m, Amelia Maggia would finally have the chance to speak.